November 1, 1897. Personal Responsibility and Work. Ellen G. White. Now I wish to tell you that the Lord is showing that a great weakness has come upon our people, by the various ways that lead a man so thoroughly to look to and depend upon his fellow man, that the Lord is left out of the question. As the good tree testifies of its value by the fruit it bears, so also the genuine Christian is known by his usefulness. He does not merely blossom out with a pretentious show in professing godliness, but he bears fruit abundantly. There is not a dying twig or a barren bough on the whole tree that grows by the rivers of the grace of Christ. The fruit is yielded in varieties. Whether in foreign fields or in home missions, the fruit appears, ripening in the sunshine of the righteousness of Christ. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. How can a Christian sleep in such an age as we are now living in? Knowledge has increased, and facilities are increased for attaining great results for God and humanity. Then we see so many fields opening before us, inviting those of strong faith and hope and courage to enter them and secure the harvest. Is there a Christian whose pulse does not beat with quickened action as he anticipates the great events already opening before us? The Lord is coming. We hear the footsteps of an approaching God as he comes to punish the world for their iniquity. We are to prepare the way for him by acting our part to get a people ready for that great day, and to sleep now is a fearful crime. There is a work to be done, and let every heart as well as every hand be engaged to do this work. When men and women go to the Lord Jesus Christ for their individual selves and are not educated to look to and trust in men, there will be fewer and fewer committee meetings, for all will be instructed of God. Men and women will understand thoroughly their personal responsibilities and the important results of personal effort. Nothing in the way of barriers will be erected to keep men from their fellow men. The work of saving souls will be the first great work. The individual believer will reach the individual sinner. We shall all kindle our tapers from the divine altar. All have a lamp, and that lamp, filled with the golden oil received from the heavenly witnesses standing before the throne of God, will shed the most precious, strong, pure, clear rays of light on the sinner's pathway. The word is given from the throne of God, every man to his work, each to do his best. The long sessions of committee meetings have confused the senses with words of great things to be done, which have not been done at all. We want the mind of Christ, and then each one will indeed become a partner in the great firm with an invincible Jesus. There have been altogether too many looking in upon their own trials and difficulties, but when they forget self and look upon the suffering necessity of others, there will be no time to magnify their own griefs. Earnest work for the Lord is a recipe for mind ailments, and the helpful hand to lift the burdens Christ has borne for all his heritage will lessen our burdens, and they will not seem worth mentioning. True, honest work will give healthy action to the mind by giving healthy action to the muscles. It is the constant manufacturing of ills and burdens that kills. We are to be content to bear the strain of daily duties and the great pressure of tomorrow's liabilities. Leave these cares for the time when we must take them. We are called now to be educated, that we may do the work that God has assigned to us, and it will not crush out our life. The humblest can have a share in the work, and a share in the reward when the coronation shall take place, and Christ, our Advocate and Redeemer, becomes the King of his redeemed subjects. We must now do all in our power to seek personal consecration to God. It is not more mighty men, not more talented men, not more learned men, that we need in the presentation of the truth for this time, but men who have a knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Personal piety will qualify any worker, for the Holy Spirit takes possession of him, and the truth for this time becomes a power, because his everyday thoughts and all his activities are running in Christ's lines. He has an abiding Christ, and the humblest soul, linked with Christ Jesus, is a power, and his work will abide. May the Lord help us to understand his divine will, and do it heartily, unflinchingly, and there will be joy in the Lord. Sunnyside, Corinbong, New South Wales. March 15, 1897.
In what sense can it be said that God is reconciled to the sinner? Will he excuse my guilt if I continue to transgress? We may all understand the meaning of this reconciliation. Through Christ, every obstruction is removed, and access to God is secured. Man is urged and welcomed to the pardoning love of God. By his love for fallen men, God is honored and glorified and magnified through Jesus Christ. God can be just and yet pardon the transgressor. Oh, what love, what matchless love! The justice, holiness, and truth of Christ are vindicated in the law, and therefore there is nothing to hinder God's mercy from descending, abundant, free, and full, in pardon, taking away sin and imputing the righteousness of Christ. Those who accept this pardon form themselves into a glorious co-partnership with Christ, and they become channels to communicate the grace of pardoning love to those who are in the darkness of error. God justly condemns all who will not receive and believe in Christ as their personal Savior. Christ is standing at the door of our hearts, longing to pardon all who will come unto Him that they may have life. Oh, what words, what precious words are these! He is not merely merciful, but is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our work is to hear His voice, open the door of our hearts, and welcome the heavenly guest. We then stand before God and the whole heavenly universe innocent, though ourselves undeserving, while Jesus carries our guilt. He takes the load which it was the lot of the sinner to bear. What responsive love, what gratitude, what thank offerings should ascend to God, because Christ has died to make reconciliation for our sins, and by His complete obedience bring in everlasting righteousness. Christ has paid all that man owes to God from the beginning of his life. Sin is the transgression of the law, and through Christ, man must now render perfect obedience to that law. By His righteousness of active obedience, Christ clothes me with His righteousness, in order that I shall not continue in sin, but perfect a character after the similitude of Christ.